demonstrated that these things which had so troubled the disciples were only the things that Christ must have suffered, those things which it had long been predicted in God's word that he would suffer, a suffering accounted for in the plans of God, and a suffering after which there would be glory.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Some years ago, during a pretty bad time, one friend of mine noticed that I was pretty distressed and asked for a meeting, and we got together, and he asked me what it was that was bothering him. And because ministers don't usually get the opportunity to unburden themselves, I was pretty vexed at the time and took advantage of it and just spilled everything that was on my mind to this friend. It took about 10 minutes of solid complaining to get it all out. And I got fairly worked up in the process, and my friend listened patiently until I was done and said, "Is that all? Just wanted to make sure everything was on the table." And I remember to this day, I remember clearly, he said, "Is that all?" And I said, "This week?" And we talked about it for a while. And my friend never said it out loud, kindly. But what emerged for me from that conversation was something that I already knew but had somehow forgotten. Sometimes it is the minister's role to carry a heavy burden for the congregation that he serves. The burden is there for all of us, and sometimes must be borne by only a few or only one so that it can be carried out of the way for the sake of all. And I am neither complaining nor boasting about the life of a minister. I am only speaking of that which I know from experience. And this kind of thing does not happen every day, but it comes in season, and not just to ministers. We don't like suffering. I think we can agree with that. How many of us don't like suffering? How many of us don't care for frustration? Okay? We do not like these things, but they descend on us at times, whether we like them or not. And we have it to wade through. And when we have once waded through them, it makes a difference. In fact, it may make several differences. The Apostle James likens the experience to being purified like ore in the fires of the forge. You went into the fire with a certain amount of slag and lead, dirty, crumbly quartz, but you come out more purified gold. At least you do if, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of old, you had the fourth man in the fire standing with you, Jesus Christ, beside you in the furnace. And this is true. And sometimes the change is not just in you. Sometimes there are dire circumstances, and what is needed is for someone to shoulder those circumstances and wade on through. The bad circumstances are like a big heavy rock set right in the middle of the path, and everyone trips on it. Until someone bends over and grabs hold and grunts and strains and puts the thing on his shoulder and carries it out of the way. Sometimes, as the Apostle Paul noted, you have to bear a burden for others as well as for yourself. Maybe you could just walk around the rock and go on and get by and leave everyone else to fend for themselves, but that is not God's way. And if we follow God's way, after we have borne the burden, even if for a bit we are dirty and sweaty and tired and scratched up, the circumstances will be changed for everyone. This too happens. And because these things happen, the bearing of these burdens changes the people for whom and for whose sake they are born. They are in many ways set free because someone bore their burden. Not everyone will know. Not everyone will care. Not everyone will remember. But some will. And frequently the relationship you have with people is changed forever when they look at you and know that you put that dirty, heavy, uncomfortable load on your back and stumbled and staggered forward until you had taken it out of the way for their sake. This is sometimes the role of the minister for his congregation. It is also sometimes the role of parents for their children, and sometimes it is the role of citizens for their community. I want to tell you, in fact, that it is sometimes at some time the role for every Christian, because the Lord was not talking to just one or two of us when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Before we can find this capacity in ourselves, we have to find it in Christ. On the road to Emmaus, two disciples met the risen Lord without realizing, in fact, that they had met the risen Lord at first. And Jesus asked them what it was that they were talking about so earnestly. And they said, are you the only person that doesn't know what has gone on in Jerusalem this week? Which is funny when you think about it, because after all, who knew better than Jesus what had gone on in Jerusalem that week? Believe it or not, there have been several occasions in my life when I have had people report things about me to me, not realizing that I was me. It has happened. Some of those people who reported things about me to me, not realizing that I was me, were people who had never met me and didn't know me, but had heard something about me and didn't realize they were talking to me. Believe it or not, some of them are people who had met me, but usually they had met me only a time or two and in church. You may or may not believe this, but when I take off my suit and I put on my blue jeans and sweatshirt, and especially if I pull a hat over my shiny head and grind some dirt into my knees, I am incognito to a lot of people who have only met me in church. I don't even need dark glasses. They have only met me in church. They frequently do not recognize me under some circumstances, and I have had them report things about me to me when they didn't realize that I was me. In this manner, I have received complimentary reports about myself, and I have also received decidedly uncomplimentary reports about myself. I was so disappointed in that pastor. It's happened. Either way, it's an interesting experience. And there's always something in me that says, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Let them keep going. And I do. Jesus didn't tell them, not right away. They said, are you the only one who doesn't know what's happened in Jerusalem this week? What things have happened in Jerusalem this week? And Jesus said, all innocence and wide eyes, well, what things? What things? You really aren't from around here, are you? What things? Only the accusation, arrest, trial, conviction, torture, and execution of a prophet, mighty in word and deed in the sight of God and of all the people. What things? Only our own priesthood illegally sentencing to death this prophet who many of us thought was probably the Messiah sent from God. What things? Oh, nothing much. Just that the prophet's body is now missing. And there are some people who claim to have had conversations with angels. And everybody wants to know what's going on. And nobody does. What things? Well, not much. Just that. And Jesus, still not identifying himself, replied, "If you had really read and believed your own scriptures, none of this would surprise you." For these people, of course, scripture would be the Old Testament. And Jesus, who having had a big hand in inspiring those scriptures, knew them better than just about anyone, was referring to certain passages. I will share just a little bit of that with you. I think that he probably meant passages like this. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised. And we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and a sheep that is dumb before its shearer, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with the rich. Yet he was with a rich man in his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. We will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied by his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with transgressors. Yes, he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressor." If you had only read and believed your own scriptures, none of these things that have so consternated you would have been much of a surprise. Let me pick another one. Only one more that I will read a little bit at length. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lot. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance and deliver my soul from the sword, not only life, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen, you answer me. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All the descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear him. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's. He rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to dust will bow before him. Even he who can keep his soul alive, posterity will serve him. Time forbids reading more such passages, but study for yourself the second chapter of the prophecy of Daniel, the interpretation of the king's dream, of the statue made of different materials, and the stone cut from the mountain that rolled and struck the statue and then grew to fill the whole earth, how it represented four great empires, from Babylon to Rome, and how in the days of the kingdom of Rome, God would send a different kingdom, the kingdom of God itself, into the world, which would be that stone cut from the mountain that would shatter the power of Rome and all other kingdoms, and grow until it filled the whole world. And ask yourself the identity of that stone that ushered in the kingdom. Study the story of Abraham's almost sacrifice of the long-promised son Isaac and the last-minute providential substitution of the sheep. Study that story and ponder its meaning. Read the whole book of Genesis with your eyes open, and you will find Christ on every page. Read the book of Exodus, and you will have the same experience. Read the whole Old Testament, and you will find it full of Christ. If only you had really read and believed your own scriptures, Jesus said, none of these things that have so consternated you would have come as a surprise. They had miles to walk, this party, and Jesus took advantage of the long miles, beginning with Moses, by which is meant the books Genesis through Deuteronomy, and working his way through the prophets, he demonstrated that these things which had so troubled the disciples were only the things that Christ must have suffered, those things which it had long been predicted in God's word that he would suffer, a suffering accounted for in the plans of God, and a suffering after which there would be glory. Captivated by this explanation of the things that had happened, miles finally covered, the village of Emmaus reached. They invited Jesus, still unidentified, to spend the night with them. And at the table, when he broke the bread, everyone's eyes were opened. And as soon as he was recognized, Jesus disappeared from their midst. And knowing then and there that Christ was risen, finally getting it, they cast caution and exhaustion aside, and ran, even in the middle of the night, straight back to Jerusalem from whence they had just walked to begin spreading the word. And what was the word? Those things that Jesus suffered. Those things that had so depressed and distressed and frightened and scared us, the betrayal, the denial, the arrest, the trial, the mocking, the scourging, the cross, the thorns, the hammer, the nails, his cold, dead body, and a lot of other things we didn't even realize until just now, our sins piled on him, his form broken for our transgression, intercession made by him for our iniquities, our wounds healed by his stripes, his hands and feet pierced for us all. It was all right there. All the time. In our own scriptures. And now he's risen. He picked up our burden. Our impossibly heavy, inconceivably dirty, unbelievably painful burden, and carried it out of the way. And now he is risen from the dead. We knew him in the flesh. He has emerged from the furnace more than flesh. We had these bad circumstances, but they have been changed. Because he carried our burden out of the way. He lives, and I will always know this man shouldered the load of my shame and carried it straight to hell and left it there. So that I will never have to make the trip myself. What things? Just these. How would you respond to a man who has done such things and borne such burdens for you? That is the question.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.